Inside the Friendly Confines with Jesse Rogers, presented by Arlington Toyota. Looking for a smart play on your next vehicle? Arlington Toyota delivers with a full lineup of dependable cars, SUVs, and trucks ready for Chicago drivers. The same trusted team you've known for years is now backed by new ownership from the Andy Moore Auto Group, bringing even more value every day. Visit ToyotaArlington.com today.
Welcome to Inside the Friendly Confines with Jesse Rogers, brought to you by Good Karma Brands, ESPN 1000, and our friends at Arlington Toyota. It's our fourth episode ever, taping on Thursday, the day off after a big Cubs win on Wednesday, a second series victory in a row. They're not out of the woods yet, but they put up a crooked number against the Rockies, came away with a nice victory. A bunch of guys got at least a little bit healthier at the plate. We are going to have a guest, our first ever guest. We're going to start doing that more and more as we establish this podcast. Jason Kipnis, the former Cub and Cleveland Indian, is going to join me. He's been doing some work on Marquee. Next week, hitting coach John Mailey is scheduled to join me. We're also going to talk to sometimes the opposition when the Cubs play them. So we're going to open up this podcast to get some people involved in the game of baseball on it. Really like what the Cubs did playing Matt Shaw this week. Matt Shaw, to me, hasn't been treated all that fairly. Lost his job when they signed Alex Bregman. I thought he was going to move around the diamond a little bit more to start the season. That really wasn't the case. Where Craig Counsell committed to him starting on this homestand. You see him going to right center, putting down a bunt, taking home on a wild pitch that didn't go far from the plate. Matt Shaw is a ball player. I love his swing. I feel like some other veterans could learn from his swing. The gap power he has, the real power he has, even into the bleachers, I think is really cool from an undersized frame. So that's my thought of the day. Matt Shaw, we might look back as the spark plug. Who knows? Long way to go with the Cubs, but maybe he's the guy. All right, that's my opening thought. Let's get right to our guest as we go inside the clubhouse. Let's go inside the friendly confines, in this case, up to the broadcast booth. He's been working for Marquee a little bit this week, and it's appropriate. My first guest on this podcast ever is a Glenbrook North alum, a fellow Glenbrook North alum, Jason Kipnis. We both grew up in the same area, went to the same high school. We took different paths, though. My baseball game wasn't very good. Yours lasted 10 years in the majors. Thanks for joining me, buddy. I appreciate it.
I did not know I was going to be the first guest. What an honor. What an honor. I appreciate you having me on, though.
Yeah, of course. Of course. You did some great work on Marquee the other night. And, of course, on a podcast, you can expand on things a little bit more than on TV. So I'd love to get your take on some stuff. We're taping on the off day after a really nice win on Wednesday. Tuesday wasn't so good. Let's start with PCA, because I saw you on TV breaking down the swing. And I know this as a left-handed hitter, you can speak to this. I thought he was having really good at-bats against left-handed pitching a month and a half ago, and it really, to me, foreshadowed what was to come. Am I sort of right on that? If you're locked in against lefties, the production's going to come against righties eventually.
I always saw it that way. I always felt that way as a hitter. I think when lefties get to see the ball from the left side, it's a little bit different at-bat. I think you're forced to really hone in on picking up the baseball. You're forced on staying balanced more, just because you know that slider will get you to reach out a little bit. So you find yourself kind of getting it behind your back leg a little bit more, which is all good things versus any pitcher, but it definitely helps and translates over to when you face a righty. So you're really picking up the ball. You're really focusing on balancing, and you're really focusing on swinging at strikes. And then when you come over to the side where you're more comfortable on, it seems like you have more time to see the ball from the right side. I think it always translates to better numbers versus the right side, that when you get going well.
I actually think it's the hardest thing to do in sports for any young athlete. Literally, left-handed hitters hitting left-handed pitching, especially in this day and age. I know you probably like me saying that because you were a left-handed hitter. And, I mean, I look at Schwarber. It took years and years and years. What about you? Is it about seeing it as much as possible? Is that the only way to get better at it?
I mean, it certainly helps. I think that's how you get better at anything. I think the more you do it, the more you practice anything and repetition comes, it'll give you more success. But I think it's just righties you can almost kind of lump in. They kind of all throw similar to each other. lefties, there's so much variety. I think that there's just different arm angles for everyone. I think they drop down. Their ball just moves a little bit different, and it's just coming in on you on the way that you're supposed to run down that bat, down towards first base as well. So it's like there's so many different things that play in part of it where it just makes it more uncomfortable than the normal at bat.
So let's get back to PCA specifically. What have you liked? What did you explain on Marquee the other night that maybe people didn't see and you can expand a little bit about here?
Well, you brought up Schwarber. I think if you put a side-by-side with PCA, the way they start, the way their body is before the pitch when they're looking at the ball or when the pitcher's getting the signs, I think he side-by-side, it almost starts like he's relaxed like Schwarber does, how they just have the bat kind of almost ready, like waiting for the guy to get their signs. Then he brings it a little bit up before Schwarber doesn't do it that much, but he looks so much more balanced. His shoulders are in a much more relaxed instead of where it was up here, kind of his elbow was pointed back and it was resting on his shoulder. And I didn't like, he kind of had these knuckles were there. Now they're like aligned. Now it's relaxed. His shoulders are comfortable. And then I think he was just talking about how he can just lift his foot up and down. And he's not, what he wasn't saying, it was anything about his stride, his direction, anything. And that's like, when you're not even mentioning that in a 10, 15 minute conversation about hitting, that's amazing. That means you're not thinking about it because everything is going right now. So I think when you can do that, he just looks so much more comfortable in his element. And it looks like he found something with the right adjustment. I just like the adjustments that he's made, and he's obviously seen results with it.
When Mark DeRosa chose him for Team USA, he used a word, and he's not the only one to use it, twitchy. He said he's twitchy. I'm sure you can understand what that means, but explain a little bit more to the audience. I get it. I think we all kind of see it, but what does it really mean to you?
I think you have I can give examples of other ones to kind of paint the picture. You have smooth swings, Ken Griffey Jr. You have powerful swings, Giancarlo Stanton. There's different kinds. When you have twitchy, you have those fast twitch muscles. You have the ability to react. You have the ability to almost adjust on the fly. I think he's just so quick and like fast at what he does. And like you see him, I mean, just run. He runs like a gazelle. You see him around the base pass and the way he flies in the outfield down baseballs. I think his twitch fast twitch muscles are just top of the game. And that lets you know he's an athlete that could probably pick up any sport that he chooses. But he's one of the better center fielders in the game right now. And that has been there for a while.
Yeah. He's carried them lately. He's carried them lately and he's been so hot. He's probably going to make the All-Star team again, based on this little run that he's been. All right, let's expand a little bit. Obviously they've struggled for a while here. You diagnosed it a little bit on air. Let's admit that this is very unusual. They're fifth or sixth and on base and 29th in hitting with runners in scoring position. It's kind of weird. There's moments where there's hitting and there's walking and all these things. And when it gets to the most important moments, it disappears a little bit. You diagnosed it a little bit on air. It feels collective, although it's such an individual thing. Can you expand on it a little bit more?
I think the reason it's frustrating, because I think you said it, they're fifth or sixth and on base and stuff like that. So it's not like a complete, total team slump. They're not getting on base. They're creating opportunities. This is an offense that is one of the more talented offenses when everything's going right. If you line up all 30 teams and everybody's offense is going right, they'll put up the most runs because they can run, they can hit, they can steal bases, they can hit for average, they draw walks, they get on base, they create the opportunities for big innings and to score runs. The problem has been the runners in scoring position. I think there just seems to be some kind of letdown during that approach, or maybe they're just focusing on the wrong things. Granted, people go in slumps. I did it during my career. It happens. And then sometimes you try to so hard to hit your way out of it that you forget to make sure you're swinging at the right pitch. Or like, it's like you work on your swing. You're just like, man, I've been rolling over the outside pitch. So it's like, now I'm working so much in the cage, hundreds off the tee, hundreds front flip of staying through the ball away. Oh, here comes a ball that's away in the game. This is all I've been working on. This is the time to do it and to do what I've been working on. And you're like, well, it's a ball off the plate. You shouldn't even be swinging at it. So it's like, that's where it's hard because you want to hit your way out of a slump. And sometimes just having a good at bat is what the game calls for right there. And taking that pitch is the right thing to do instead of translating what you've been working so hard on in the cage into the game and hitting your way out, because you know, you want your average is low and you want to get it higher. People talk about your average and you want them to shut up. Like, there's so many reasons why you want to swing your way out of it. But I think they just need to kind of relax a little bit, get back to the basics, swing at strikes up in the zone, get your pitch, not a pitcher's pitch. Don't chase. And I don't know, and maybe I want to hear your side on this. When did small ball become such a bad thing in this game? Is it because the fans want to see home runs and they don't like a bunt? You know what fans also want to see? They want to see your team win games, and that can help you win games. So I don't know why that's frowned upon so much in the last 5 to 10 years. It's just become that way. But I think winning baseball comes from doing the right things. If a guy's on second base, get him over. Next guy, get a ball into the outfield. I think that kind of stuff where you manufacture runs and you capitalize on opportunities. It doesn't have to be a base hit even. But it's like I don't see this team getting jammed. There's no, like, bloop singles. There's no, like, where you're hoping maybe a dink or dunk here and, like, here comes a crooked number on the scoreboard. It's like a ground out, strikeout, or an infield fly, and you're just like, there goes a wasted opportunity. And it's just like you want to see a little bit. I know they're making adjustments, and I know they're trying to make adjustments. You just want to see it happen a little bit faster as a frustrated fan, I guess, that I am.
Totally get it. You know, the last few days. I mean, I did see a tweet or of an article that said actually successful bunts are up, but you have to actually try them. So, like, Matt Shaw had a successful bunt. But in general, when you're struggling, I would think trying to push across a run or two in different ways is – I'm sure you did it back in your day, right? When everything's rolling, no need for it. But when it's not, you probably tried some different things.
I think that's why it's frustrating. It's just because everything's not rolling.
Right.
I just don't see them trying other things. It's like if you're just going down and you're just not doing anything different, chances are you're just going to keep going down then. Yes, law of averages will bring it back up a little bit that they're not going to hit like this all year, and they are going to get some hits with runners in scoring position. They're way too good not to. I just get a little bit more impatient. I was that way as a player where I'm just like, I don't have time to wait. I want to get a hit now, or I want our team to be successful now and win games now. So I think that's kind of where I was coming from the other night. I think there was a little bit of my responses that I've got. It was almost like there's some pearl clutching from, like, fans, like, oh my God, I can't believe he said that, or someone saying something. I was like, listen, these are grown men. I got it when I played. They can take it when they play. They know, they've heard it before. And if the worst thing that you hear in your profession is, hey, you're not doing good, when you're not doing good, it's not that bad of a thing to say. They know they're not doing good. They don't need to hear it from me or you or anybody else. They know it.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to ask you what you think Dansby Swanson is going through. I mean, would you just, like, not look up at the scoreboard when you came to bat when you were struggling? What were the things to sort of block it all out when you were struggling poorly? Because it's happened to everybody.
Well, let's be very clear. Nobody wants to get a hit more than Dansby. I think you as mad and frustrated as anybody is, he's more mad and more frustrated than anybody else. Because he's been there before. He's had the success before. He's got a ring. He's got a 300 RBI season. Like, this is a one of the better players in the game, or has been for the last decade at the shortstop position. So I know he's frustrated. I know he's trying everything he can. I think sometimes it's a game of baseball. You tip your cap, because I think early on he was hitting the ball hard and it was just had some unluck. I think if a couple more of those got in, I think he would be able to breathe a little bit easier, but he just hasn't had much going his way. So I think he's got to stick with it, but he's too athletic to be trying the same things. I just want him to swing at the right, swing at strikes, swing at pitches you can handle, your pitches. And don't always think that you have to hit your way out of a slump, as easy as it is to kind of want to do that.
And what I meant by looking up at the scoreboard is you see your batting average, you see all your numbers, and it kind of can be depressing as you step in the box. What did you do, Kip, when that happened?
Well, make no mistake about it. It is depressing. It weighs on you. It's frustrating. You know, you have to see it every day, and you probably have to hear about it from guys like us every day and fans and all that stuff who are frustrated and want him to hit too. But like I said, nobody wants to have more success than he himself for himself. I think the best way to, and easier said than done, but you got to ignore the numbers. Go out and compete. I know he's doing that, but go out, compete, hang your head on the fact that, hey, I showed up, I posted every day, I came and I went, I came and I played my butt off to win that game. And if the numbers are there, the numbers are there, or you hope they will be there by the end of the season, kind of average out a little bit. But it's just going to take time. It's not going to be a one day, one week, one series, whatever time to get back into those numbers. And your numbers probably won't be what you were hoping they are at the end of the year. So just go out and compete and rest your head on that then.
Inside the Friendly Confines with Jesse Rogers, presented by Arlington Toyota. Looking for a smart play on your next vehicle? Arlington Toyota delivers with a full lineup of dependable cars, SUVs, and trucks ready for Chicago drivers. The same trusted team you've known for years is now backed by new ownership from the Andy Moore Auto Group, bringing even more value every day. Visit ToyotaArlington.com today.
Would you sometimes restart your season in your head? Things are going bad. Okay, my season's starting over right now. Would you do things like that mentally?
100%. So I like to zoom in, zoom out. I like big perspective and small perspective. It's like, okay, big perspective, this year's not going the way I want it to. Small perspective is, hey, let's see if I can get backed up to 200 by the end of July. Let's see if I can get to 230 by the end of August. Let's zoom in, zoom out. Hey, I'm hitting 250 over my last 10 days. That's better. Now you're getting somewhere. Now you have a positive mind. You're like, you know, and none of what I just said is like, oh, I'm still seeing 175. It's like, no, it's like now I'm winning little battles. Yeah. Yeah. You're losing this big one of the whole season number, but now I've made it to a way where I can rest my head on something. I can sleep well at night because I'm doing better. I'm getting better. I'm helping the team win games and all this stuff. So I'm competing the right way. But that little zoom in, zoom out trick kind of helped me get through some of the rough patches.
I want to ask you about one player. We could do 2 hours on this stuff. It's just great talking to you about it. I want to ask about Matt Shaw. I might be a prisoner of the moment, but I feel like it was really unfair what they did to him. You know, they signed a guy. Yes, Alex Bregman's great, but this was a Gold Glove finalist, good hitter in the second half, and they sat him down. Now he's in there, and with few at-bats this season consistently, he's already performing. I think some of the things you said earlier about the other guys that are struggling – like, they could look at Matt Shaw. I love that he's going to right center. That two-run triple the other night, awesome. The bunt, getting home on the wild pitch. Like, he's a ball player, Kip. He reminds me of yourself a little bit. But the swing works. The swing works in gaps. It works deep for a smaller guy. Like, I really like a lot of things about Matt Shaw, and I feel like, incredibly, the veterans – who have been playing a lot could look at him and say, I like that. Where's right center with the right-handers outside of Matt Shaw, Kip?
I mean, that's hitting 101. I think that a lot of good hitters go the other way. I think you're supposed to hit fastballs the other way and you pull the off speed. I think that's how I always learned how to hit a baseball. I think Shaw has definitely played himself back into the lineup, even though it wasn't his fault for being out of the lineup. I think that's commendable to him to stay ready, to not say anything about that. Hey, this should be my spot. And he kind of got screwed over. But that happens. That happens to a lot of people. So I do appreciate the way that he's handled his business and still come ready to play each day. I think that's what I like, though. I like ball players like Matt Shaw. I like ball players who do just show up, who are just playing the game is good enough for them. There's no paychecks, is now anything about that. They just love wearing a uniform and playing nine innings. And that's what I love to do. You want guys who do the little things. You have a bunch of them. I think Nico is one of those guys. You have a bunch of talented people who just love playing the game of baseball. And so I don't know what the answer is with him. I don't know what the answer is with – I don't have the answer on like a Dansby situation or a Bregman situation of these guys with big contracts of when do you – give someone else a chance for a few days, or when is enough? What's the cut? I don't know what that is. That's above my pay grade, and I don't get paid to make those decisions. But do I think that if someone's really struggling and you have someone who has shown to have success in the few sample sizes that you've given them, a day here, a day there, maybe a series here, a series there, that might not be the worst thing for both sides. I think you give that guy a few more at bats, you give this guy a mental break, or maybe you light a fire under his butt saying, hey, okay, I'm losing it in a little bit now. Maybe I got to do everything I can to get more onto it. But no, I think he definitely has earned his way back into the lineup, and I like seeing him and some of the at-bats that he's been giving.
Yeah, I thought coming out of spring, he was going to get like a few starts a week moving around the diamond. I was naive about that because that means Nico, Dansby, Alex have to sit a day a week, and they're not going to necessarily do that. But struggling is a different story. Before I let you go, 10 years in the big leagues, right? You got to 10 years with the Cubs, I believe. Is that right, Kip? That was awesome. But I want to ask you this.
That was my 10th season, yeah.
Yeah. What I want to ask you this, because I was talking to Dansby Swanson on the field in San Francisco. He said to me, look, I think the dam's going to break. That's one thing. But then we started talking about golf. And he related the whole idea of hitting a baseball and hitting a golf ball, similarly mentally frustrating. But he did say the golf ball is at least still. The baseball is moving. But that doesn't make golfing any easier. You've done both. Is it comparable, baseball and golf, mentally, physically, a lot of different things?
Oh, it's comparable. That's why you see a lot of baseball players immediately get into golf, because they're like, oh, I need another sport to mentally abuse me after I'm done with baseball. And that's exactly, we need another sport for us to lose sleep at night. So that's why we go right to golf. I think the hand-eye coordination translates. I think the swing, we shape our bodies to do a motion of a swing. That all translates. You have less of excuse because the ball's not moving. So you can't be like, that was a good pitch. You're like, the ball's on a tee. It didn't go anywhere. So I have nobody to blame. I have even less people to blame. I think it's just, it's taken me years, and it's still not all the way out, of trying to get rid of a baseball swing, because there is little. So the hand-eye and the muscle coordination and all that stuff translates, but it is a different swing a little bit. I think baseball, you kind of want to stay through the zone for as long as you can. I think golf, you want to release the head, kind of just let the head part go. But there are similarities, but it's kind of it's just hitting a very, 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 very low pitch.
You know, the most frustrating person I've been around when it comes to golf, Kyle Hendricks. You know why? Because he was basically a scratch golfer, but did not enjoy the game.
Oh, now me, that already makes me mad.
If I'm that good, I'm going to enjoy myself out there. But that frustrates me. You have to enjoy it if you're that good.
I said I'm going to relate even Kyle Hendricks being good at golf and saying he doesn't enjoy it. I have heard the more you play or the better you get, the more frustrating it gets. I'm going to come full circle to Dansby a little bit. That's why he's so frustrated. The better you get, Dansby has been a 30 home run, 100 RBI World Series winner, and now he's not playing the way that he wants to. So Kyle is a scratch golfer and has a bad shot or one, two bad shots, which will ruin his round, and he's more frustrated. They have been so good, and that's why they're so frustrated by just the little things that are going wrong, because they're not playing the way that they know they could be playing, or something's not working, or something is going off when they haven't changed anything. And that's just the game of sports, and that's kind of happens, and that's why it's frustrating, and that's why it's beautiful when it goes well.
Jason Kipnis, you could not have said it any better. Thanks for joining me inside the Friendly Confines. You're my first guest, and you set a high bar, my friend. Thank you.
What an honor. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.